but we anticipate the word. And we ask that you would visit us right now. Encourage our hearts and lift us up. And help us to see more clearly what your resurrection really means to us. To this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I especially appreciated the song selection by our children's choir, didn't you? Last week, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. Now today, we meet Jesus at the cross. Jesus will be crucified. The title of our message for this morning is Crucified for Our Healing. The contemporary writer, Christian writer, and a great one, Max Lucado, in his book, Just Like Jesus, gives a report of what it might sound like had a reporter been assigned to cover the arrest of Jesus. And he says that the headlines might read like this: A Dark Night for Jesus. A Galilean preacher abandoned by friends. Last Friday, they welcomed him with palm leaves. Last night, they arrested him with swords. The world of Jesus of Nazareth turned sour as he was apprehended by a crowd of soldiers and angry citizens in a garden just outside the city walls. Only a week since his triumphant entry, his popularity has taken a fatal plunge. Even his followers refuse to claim him. The disciples who took pride in being seen with him earlier in the week took flight from him last night. With the public crying for the death and the disciples denying any involvement, the future of this celebrated teacher appears bleak. And the impact of his mission appears limited. We know we've seen the end of the story. And we know that Jesus is victorious. Amen? And we are recipients of that victory. But I have to agree with the reporter. It appears that it's one of the dark nights for Jesus. You see, the crucifixion was considered so horrible and dishonorable that it could only be decreed against slaves and non-Romans. Even among the slaves, crucifixion or death on the cross was limited to serious crimes such as murder and temple theft and high treason and insurrection. That's why I am amazed when I listen to the case of Musawi, who was being tried for crimes in the 9/11, that he could stand up in our courtrooms, maybe only in America, could he say that the man who crawled out of the Pentagon on fire was pathetic. Only in America could we let Musawi say that Timothy McVeigh was the greatest American. Only in America could he get away with standing in court and calling the families that testified against him about the 9/11 mess. Only he could call them disgusting. Only in America could he say that he wakes up every day thinking on how he could destroy the U.S. and get away with it. And he wanted even more people to die in 9/11. Need I say what the Romans in Jesus' day would do to him? Before the crucifixion, and I invite you to turn to the Gospel of St. Mark, if you would, the 15th chapter. Before the crucifixion was the scourging. It was used many times as a last attempt to satisfy the crowd. Maybe after they would see the victim being scourged, that they wouldn't want the crucifixion. But when you look at the Gospel of St. Mark, you'll find that the crowd could not be satisfied unless Jesus was crucified. And so you see them crying over and over again, "Crucify him, crucify him." The scourging itself was so gruesome that historians say that even the scourging itself could cause instant death. The historian Josephus relates, as he was a commander in Galilee, how he ordered a scourging, and he said the lacerations were so bad that the insides were laid bare. You see, they used a whip that had metal and pieces of sharp bones at the end of it. And I know they say it was 39 stripes plus one, but the truth be told, there was no limit to the amount of stripes that they could give if they wanted to. And so when we skip over, when we read the Gospel of St. Mark and it says, "So Pilate handed him over to be crucified," I think we really don't think about the significance. And it's a real testament to Jesus that after the scourging and all night of not sleeping, it speaks volumes about his physical stamina, that he could carry the cross all the way through the streets, even with help, and get to the city walls. It's amazing that he could do that after the scourging. Now, I was surprised. I thought I knew my Bible. When I was reading about the scourging, it was bad enough. And I like to read an author, an Adventist author, Chris Blake, that does his best to describe the scourging. He says, after the victim is stripped, the soldier would get that whip. And you know when others around you like to show off. And he would put a torque behind it. And he would whip the victim from the shoulders down to the buttocks, down to the back of the legs. The metal balls would produce deep bruises, break open with repeated blows. And then those sharp bone fragments would shred the skin and the muscles and the ligaments, and even the spine might be exposed. And sometimes they would let that whip just coil around the torso, and it would rip stuff. And you could be sliced up like ribbons. How did Jesus carry the cross at all? But this really got me. Do you know, I was surprised, and if you see different, I want you to help me, because I did not find it. I thought I knew my Bible, but I guess I didn't. I could not crucifixion was so bad that the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, mentioned the crucifixion, but they nowhere described the brutality of the crucifixion. It was worse than the scourging. So they only say that Jesus was crucified. And in fact, I could not find... I know my wife wondered why the light was still on. I was looking and I could not find it where it actually showed where Jesus, you know, I think Hollywood influences us whether we want to believe it or not, where the Bible actually in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, shows Jesus being nailed to the cross. It's not in the Bible. I couldn't find it. If you find it, let me know so I can get up and correct you the next time. But I could not find where it actually shows where Jesus in the gospel was being nailed to the cross. That's how bad crucifixion was. They could not even speak it. Now, we know that he was nailed to the cross. You look at John chapter 20 and verse 25. We know that the disciples, they felt Jesus asked them to feel the nail prints in his hand. There's no doubt that he was nailed, all right, to the cross. But the actual description of it is not there in the Gospels. That's how bad it was. And you know what's remarkable? After Jesus... That's why he was only on the cross for 6 hours. You usually are there for days, but he couldn't last but 6 hours after the scourging. Some would die just over the scourging. Jesus must have been a remarkable physical specimen, or he could not even endure that. But you know something? You know what they would do with the crucifixion? They would leave the insects and the birds of prey and the wild beasts to finish up. And usually when they buried you after a crucifixion, they buried the remains, pieces, parts. But thank God Jesus didn't have that to worry about. Amen. He was off of that cross in a matter of hours, and a whole body was put in the grave. Amen. Crucifixion. You know why I'm grateful? They laid Jesus' body to rest in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And then early Sunday morning, the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the dead. Can you say amen? He rose from the dead. Thank God for the crucifixion and the resurrection. Thank God for salvation. Salvation happened. We are saved. Amen? Thank God for that. But Fallbrook, I have a problem. I discovered another problem as I was reading the scriptures. I discovered, and I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Another chapter that talks about the crucifixion, the coming crucifixion. Isaiah 53. I know you know it. You're familiar with it. Starting at verse 3. And this puzzled me. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was what, everybody? Bruised for our what? Iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And here it is. This is why I'm confused. And by his stripes we are healed. And when I saw that again, I got excited. Because I said, here it is. by His stripes we are healed. Isn't that good news? By His stripes we are healed. But then at the same time, I got confused. Can it be, I said, that when we are saved, when we look at the cross of Jesus, that He heals all of our diseases and our sickness? And Peter backs it up in 1 Peter 2:24, where he says, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, and by His stripes we are healed." Could it be that the beaten body and swollen face and cuts all over and bleeding body and ripped back could heal us? That's what I asked myself. But Fallbrook, I have a problem. Maybe it's just me, but I want you to help me to confirm this. In the last 10 years of my ministry, I don't know, but I've heard more people saying that they're sick and they have disease and they have problems and they have pain like I've never heard it before. Is it just me? I mean, there's not a day that passes where I don't hear from somebody who says their loved one, I'm talking about good people, I'm talking about good, clean, honest, faithful, eating right people, who call and say, "I am sick." And I mean, they have things that don't make any sense. They have diseases, they have things that they shouldn't have. I mean, it happens almost daily. Didn't I just read that by His stripes we are healed? What's happening? Maybe I don't have enough faith. When you're asked to pray for people, Pastor, maybe your prayers are not strong enough. I'm not kidding. I hear more stuff like I've never heard before. If you're experiencing something, if you're hearing that, can I see your hand? I just wanted to make sure I wasn't by myself. I see a few. Okay, some of you have experienced what I'm talking about. The great evangelist Catherine Kuhlman, the Pentecostal preacher, said that one day she's going to ask God why some people get healed and some don't. I think that's a pretty good question. I don't know if she'll ask God that or not. I think when we get in heaven, we'll be so glad that we're there, we won't even remember to ask that. Is it possible that if we have enough faith in the cross, that it'll heal all of our afflictions and disease? Well, let me tell you something that I believe that Isaiah 53 was doing, and how it connects to the Bible. The Bible does have a connectedness between sickness, suffering, and sin. And we bring that to the table. We believe that. We see it in the Bible. You remember in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 16 through 19, after mankind sinned, there was pain in childbirth. You remember that? There was pain in tilling of the soil. So there's a connection. When sin happens, it makes things more difficult. There's a connection. When Miriam was having problems with Moses' wife, remember that? God gave her leprosy in Numbers chapter 12. And Elisha's servants, Gehazi, being greedy, got leprosy. You'll find that in 2 Kings 5 and verses 20. And you'll read also in John the 9th chapter, when Jesus had His encounter with the blind beggar, guess what question they brought up? It must be this man's sin that caused him to be blind. There's always been a connectedness. We resist it. Modern people resist it. But even today, we would connect the fact that there is, and I think our holistic message of health brings that to the table, which is, I believe, is right and good. There's a balance between the spiritual and the physical. Amen? Wouldn't you agree? I didn't get one amen. All right, y'all sleep out there. Do you believe that? There is a balance between the spiritual and the physical. There's a balance between when you feel bad emotionally, how do you feel physically? It affects you. In fact, they did a study. It's a study in an article, Psychotherapy of Bodily Diseases, by Jay Frank. They did a study and found out that a placebo was 30 to 60% as effective as the medicine itself. And it has to do with how we relate emotionally or psychologically. I believe that Isaiah was speaking to the human predicament that we find ourselves in. And certainly Isaiah 53 deals with the atonement. But also, I think Isaiah wanted us to know that whatever stage you find yourself in life, in religious or political arenas or whatever it is, that in life you're going to find pain and transgressions and iniquities. All of us, even Christians, we're going to find ourselves in situations that we cannot fix. And when we cannot fix it, we have to go to the healer, God Himself. Amen? I want to say something. I believe in healing. What did I just say, everybody? I want you to get that. I don't want anybody, if the person next to you is asleep, I want you to wake them up, because I want them to know that Pastor Jones believes in healing. Amen? Because if not, you're going to leave here saying, you know, I was over there at Fallbrook and the pastor said he didn't believe in healing. I believe in healing. Continue to pray for healing. Amen? The Bible says, submit yourselves to God for healing in James 4. Look to God's Word. It gives healing, Romans 10. Pray in faith, Mark 11. And when we sing our song, I Will Do a New Thing, I know that troubles you when it says anything you ask for. I hope you know that we're talking about anything you ask according to God's will. Amen? Now, I know you know that, so don't panic when you sing that. You ought to know that. Amen? And it says also in healing, call for the elders, Dan. That's a good thing. Call for the elders and let us pray in James 5 and believe. Just keep on believing. I believe in healing. Amen? But the truth be told, let me share something with you. Jesus bore our sins. In His body on the cross. As long as you are here on earth, you will get sick. Have you discovered that? You will get sick. And I believe the emphasis now is on the wrong thing. Not that being well physically is not important. But you know why Jesus went to the cross? The issues with us are not just physical. Physical is not the most important thing. It's spiritual. It's moral. Those are the issues that trouble us and where we have the most problems. I know it's income tax time, but there's a study that says that in psychology today that says that people feel it's okay to cheat on their marriage partner than on their income tax. That's something moral. It's a spiritual issue. But we spend a lot of time on the physical. And I believe as we continue to be sick physically, if we're not careful, we're going to be duped. We're going to think that that's the most important thing. It's spiritual. Since it's tax time, it says that more than half say that if their returns were audited, they would probably owe the government money. Half. We might be able to get our budget back in order if people would be honest. Amen? And this one really struck me. It let me know that there was a real problem. They said that 89% said that if they parked in the car parking lot next to your car and they scratched your car, they would not leave a note on your car saying that they scratched your car. That's troubling, isn't it? So if you ever see me parking a long ways away, I do that. I kind of irritate my wife. If I go to Walmart, I'll park over in the corner someplace, and inevitably somebody will park right next to me. And they're not driving a BMW either. And that really absolutely blows my mind. Amen? It'll cause me to go out and look to see if I've gotten scratched. Jesus died for our sins. Amen? Jesus died because of our character flaws. Amen? Now, I want you to know I believe in healing. Continue to pray for healing. Never stop. But let's not forget the most important thing. I really don't follow college basketball as close as I do some of the other basketball. But I did pick up this particular story. Maggie Dixon was a coach for the Army's women's basketball team. And she took them to the NCAA tournament. First time, I imagine, in a long time. Had a record of 20-11. And so as they won the game to get them into the NCAA tournament, they raised her up on their shoulders and carried her around, and she reached toward heaven. And last week, 28-year-old Maggie Dixon appeared that everything was fine health-wise. They had her memorial service in the chapel of the Most Holy Trinity. 28 years old, in good shape, nothing wrong, so they thought. Folk, we don't know what's going to happen to us next. I mean, I shouldn't tell you. But we got a call last night about 12:30. My daughter called, and we're always glad to hear her. But she says, you know, my daughter's pregnant, and we're going to go visit our new grandson. But she says they've seen something on the X-ray. Folk, it just never stops. I thought Jesus said, with his stripes, we are healed. Imagine how the Dixon family feels losing their 28-year-old daughter. I mean, when everything is going well. Sobering, isn't it? But you know what encouraged my heart? You know why the crucifixion is so important to us? Because out of the crucifixion, you know what happens? Jesus is coming back for us one day. And aren't you glad for that? Amen? And when He comes back for us, and He takes some of us to heaven who meets Him, and those in Christ, dead in Christ, rise first, and we all go to meet Him in heaven. I got to do it. Danny, I'm talking to son Danny. I have to admit, I picked on another Dan, but I believe it's true even in this service. I believe, and I want to be careful how I say that, I believe that Danny is a handsome guy. Now, I got to be really comfortable with myself to say that. Amen? And I am. And Melissa, I know you agree with me, right? I honestly believe Danny is a handsome guy. You know, when Danny gets to heaven, when God gets through with you, Danny, we haven't seen a handsome guy yet. Are you with me? You know, God has something prepared for you. You cannot even imagine. When we get to heaven, all of the sickness and all of the pain, all of the disease, all of the things that we have experienced will be erased from your mind when you look at the people that you know. God's going to do something real special. And you know something? There's a word that will be erased from our vocabulary. Several words. Sickness and death. No more! Sickness and death will be erased. I don't know about you. I can't wait. How many plan to be there with me? It will be worth it all. So when you hear about, and you will. In fact, I would not be surprised. See, the devil knows more than I know. I know that because we are so concerned with our physical bodies, I would not be surprised if the devil doesn't try to use that. And he has some great healer. Now, I want you to know I believe in healing. Amen? He has some great healer at some stadium somewhere. And you feel the need to go. Are you with me? But what we need most of all is the healing of the spiritual person. That's what we need. May God give that to us. Aren't you grateful for the crucifixion and resurrection? I mean, it's true healing. It's healing of the body and the spiritual person. May God give that to us. I'm grateful for a church that emphasizes that. May God help us and keep us. Till He comes again. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, what a joy it is to serve You. We thank You for Your crucifixion. We thank You for Your resurrection. But we won't stop there. We're thankful that You are coming real soon. When You come, Lord, take everybody who is here today with You. And what a day it will be when we will look at each other and recognize each other. And boy, well, we look good. Thank You. You are that loving of a God. You care just that much. But Lord, there's something that will never go away. We will see the evidence that You were crucified. We will see the nail prints your hands. And that is for us. It'll remind us how much you love us. We thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.